Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Evan Roberts, Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome to yet another Loser Monday here on The Fan. Evan and Tiki, we got a ton to talk about. Abdul Carter finally makes news, except it isn't on the field. The Jets make a quarterback change. And we have specific names connected to the Giants head coaching job. But Tiki Barber, another Sunday, another fourth quarter lead, another Giants loss.
Look, I want to get mad at Jalen Hyatt like I did in postgame and scream at him for not running a corner route despite seeing the cover two corner safety sitting right where he was supposed to be. Jameis Winston is going to throw the ball, Jalen Hyatt. So run your route, even if you think you're not getting it. That is something we'll deal with later. We've been talking about Shane Bowen a lot. People have called over and over and over again, really going back to week four or five, about why he's how bad he is and the fact that the Giants should move on from him. But Dabes made a commitment to him. He picked him specifically 2 years ago, and he stuck through him despite some of the challenges that this defense has had. Well, after this game yesterday, Evan, just listening to the players, I can tell that they're getting tired of Shane Bowen. We could excuse it away, right? It's the players got to make plays. Tay Banks has got to be more aggressive. The linebackers got to make tackles. You can't be mispositioned. It's on the players. It's on the players. It's on the players. Yesterday, I lost it with Shane Bowen. It got to the point where I can start to predict exactly what he's doing. And I'm a lay fan at this point. I mean, I'm more than a lay fan, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I'm not in the meeting room. I'm not studying their defensive schemes. I'm not deep into it like I'm competing against them. And I could start to predict what they were trying to do. The biggest issue is that their defensive front gets no pressure. They have the eighth slowest time to the quarterback in the National Football
League. Which is crazy because we figured this would be a strength.
The eighth slowest. Mm. We're talking Brian Burns, who up until yesterday, because of Myles Garrett's prolific sack totals that he's going to put up this season, was leading the league in sacks. Brian Burns has been fantastic. Dex, actually, in the early in these games, is getting pressure. Kayvon Thibodeau, when he was healthy, and Abdul Carter, they're supposed to be dominant. But it's hard to be dominant when offenses know exactly what you're going to do. Now, they bring pressure. They do. It's like the fourth or fifth highest pressure rate in the National Football League. The problem is, everybody knows it's coming. And so there's never unblocked pressure. There's never that cornerback that's just coming out of nowhere and blindsides the quarterback and causes a sack fumble. There's never any of that. In fact, they have one of the worst unblocked pressure rates in the National Football League.
Despite, and that's on coaching.
Despite being one of the highest blitzing teams in the NFL,
right,
they have one of the worst unblocked pressure rates. To me, that is you're not designing anything that's confusing an opposing quarterback. And so when we keep seeing over and over and over again, the Giants have leads in the fourth quarter, whether it's a double-digit lead or a two-point lead, the Giants have leads. It's on the defense to make plays, and I'm starting to hear the defensive players themselves get frustrated that Shane Bowen is not putting them in positions to have success. I know Mike Kafka said today he's not making any changes. He should. Period.
Well, why isn't he?
Because it's who else is he hiring? Who is he putting in that position? And that was my argument last week.
Right.
But at this point, it almost feels like just give somebody a chance.
Yeah, I was going to say, it doesn't even matter.
What the hell does it matter? You're 2-9.
You got to try something.
Try something else. Try something different.
And in Kafka's case, I know that yesterday didn't do a lot for him improving his chances of retaining this job.
No.
Our little percentage meter that you created, T.
Right, he didn't pick up any percentage points.
Yeah, and in fact, yesterday, so for those who missed it, last week we said, all right, for Mike Kafka to take this job, right now he probably has a 15% chance to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
And Tiki came up with a formula, every win he gets, it improves by 10%. And if he gets a big upset victory, it improves by 15%. But there's one flaw in your thinking that didn't hit me.
Tell me.
Until the middle of yesterday's game.
Tell me.
Is there anything that could bring the percentage down? And to me,
you're just losing. When you get zero growth, that is kind of...
No, but I think when you blow another fourth quarter lead,
okay,
which
So blown fourth quarter leads, we're subtracting five.
I subtract five. Okay. And not only that, coaching decisions that make you scratch your head.
Mm.
The usage of the challenges in the first half was abysmal.
Right.
I mean, it was abysmal. He's challenging one thing that has no chance to be overturned, and then he allows a ball that was called incomplete that was clearly a catch by Wandale Robinson. He doesn't challenge it because he's gun-shy because he just wasted a challenge a few minutes earlier.
Right.
I take 5% away. So based on that math...
So he's down to 5%.
He's down to 5%.
No, and that's
you
about...
You got an 8 1/3 chance of winning.
And to your...
And that's about right, by the way.
And to your point about the defensive coordinator, Shane Bowen, who's been the whipping boy along with Brian Daboll, you're right. We are now a week in to the Kafka era. They lost in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You're even saying, hey, I'm starting to hear it from players without them specifically saying it. They don't believe in this defensive coach. Well, eventually you have to make a change. And when's that eventually?
Right.
Week 15? When it's far too late? And so I know every Giant fan's been calling for it. You're calling for it. The players are almost saying it without saying it. So... Look, I like Mike Kafka, except the eyebrows just distract me. I'm not picking on his looks.
What the heck do the eyebrows have to do with it?
Because I was watching his press conference yesterday. I cannot take my eyes off of his
eyebrows. What's wrong with his eyebrows? They need to be trimmed?
They're very thick. They're very dark.
Are they shaped?
They look like paint.
Are they groomed?
They are.
Are there like random spikes like popping out everywhere?
Yes, he looks like an evil character in a Disney movie.
Greatest take you've ever had, Evan.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Because, I've never looked at it.
Because I'm watching his press conference thinking about learning more. Like, obviously we'll get to the Abdul Carter stuff. You mentioned the Shane Bowen stuff. And I actually had to rewatch his press conference because the first time I watched it, I was distracted by his freaking eyebrows.
Can you Google Mike Kafka's eyebrows, please, Sean, and tell me what pops up?
Thank you very much. They scared me. In fact, I had a nightmare last night. I woke up at 2:15. It was because of Mike Kafka's eyebrows. But back to your same point about the defensive coordinator. If not now,
yeah.
When?
When, exactly. Because, there is still a chance that this team can... They're not going anywhere. They're not going to the playoffs. But they can turn this season around to feel more successful.
Well, because they can win every game they play, which is infuriating.
They're in every single game.
Right.
And the offense is... I'm not saying they're great, but Jameis was pretty good despite the four turnover-worthy balls that he threw, including one that actually was a turnover. Whatever. They scored 20 points, and they look competent, and they fight.
Yes.
Right? In the second half, we did our halftime show, and our mantra was run the ball, right? Exercise your will against this defense, this Green Bay defense, and run the ball. And they did that. And you give credit to the offense for making play after play and keeping them in this thing. And then ultimately you get a lead and the defense blows it again.
Yes.
So you would just feel so much better. One win does wonders for your psyche. Even if it makes you 3-8 after yesterday's game, hopefully 3-9 after this week, which is unlikely given how Detroit plays, but they played terrible last night. So maybe there is a chance. You never know. But I feel like this team is looking and waiting for something to spark them. We thought that the Mike Kafka hiring after relieving Dabes of his duties would give them a bump. It didn't give them a bump. We got the exact...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Same outcome.
It looked a little bit different, but the results were exactly the same. Yes. And that's the part that's got to be infuriating. And, you know, you mentioned the offense. I would define the Giants offense right now as a solidly functioning team. Mm. And that's a really big compliment when you think about the fact they are starting the guy who is supposed to be their third string quarterback.
Right.
The running back who is becoming a star in Cam Scataboo is doing videos about how to eat tacos. The number one wide receiver, Malik Nabers, isn't walking through that door. And as much as we pick on Darius Slayton, he's at least a functioning NFL wide receiver. He's not walking through that door. So you had a Giant offense that was based on a wide receiver they picked off the practice squad 72 hours ago in Isaiah Hodgins, mm-hmm. a running back who was basically forgotten about 3 weeks ago because of Cam Scataboo, and the quarterback that was signed to be your third-string quarterback, and yet you were successful 50% of the time on third down, 75% of the time on fourth down. You scored 20 points, which is reasonable. You controlled the clock at a very high pace. Yep. Like, I'm not telling you that's the greatest show on turf. But what I tell you is that's a really solid functioning offense.
That's winning football offensively.
And you wasted it because this defense, on a week in, week out basis, finds ways to blow games.
Yeah, the biggest and most egregious defensive play was the third down and 10 in the fourth quarter, where they bring, again, the same pressure that you see over and over again. Let me mug the center and get one-on-ones. They had 3 one-on-ones and none of them won. None of them got home, and Jordan Love stood back there forever, threw a moon ball that probably touched the top of the stadium, and ultimately his wide receiver, rookie wide receiver, came down with it right in the face of Cordell Flott,
yep,
who just doesn't know how to make plays on balls.
That was bad, and you know what I thought was even worse is right after that, they're set up to at least kick a field goal and give the Packers the lead, and they get called for a hold on first down.
Yeah.
And so now all of a sudden this defense can pin their ears back. It's first and 20. They're back at their 30-yard line. And my thought is, as an IFO, okay, worst case scenario, they kick a field goal, which, by the way, is no lock considering the extra point failures that were going on yesterday. And you give up two chunk plays, 13 yards to Christian Watson, 17 yards to Christian Watson for the touchdown. Good night, Irene.
Right.
I mean, you had been pinned back at the 30-yard line with a second and 20, and you give up two monster plays, and instead of holding them, and at least, you know, giving your offense a chance to just come back, kick a field goal, and we go from there,
mm-hmm.
you put your offense on a spot where they had to go the length of the field and score a touchdown, where all it takes is that one mistake, whether it's by the quarterback, and in this case, right. not the quarterback, a wide receiver giving up on a route, and everything changes. And so it's the same old crap.
Right.
And, you know, what you said about...
It's dumb football. That's what's frustrating about it. It's not smart football.
And then Shane Bowen, who I know we could say, oh, that's just the fall guy because the players aren't good enough, but you've got to try something different. And Mike Kafka yesterday opened the door up to personnel changes. He opened the door up to coaching changes because he was asked about it, and he pulled the Aaron Glenn. He said, everything's going to be reevaluated. And then today, when he meets the media a few hours ago, I'm looking forward to it, like, wow, okay, mm-hmm. he's clearly going to move on from Shane Bowen. I don't know if he's going to fire him, if he's going to demote him, who he's going to promote. I have no idea. But boy, Giant fans are going to be thrilled about this.
Right.
And listen to this answer from Mike Kafka when he was asked earlier this morning, okay, you're going to make some coaching changes?
And yesterday, we asked you about your staff. You said you were evaluating everything. So this week, do you anticipate any changes to anybody's role or position or status quo?
I would say status quo. I don't anticipate any. As a matter of fact, we're going to go and attack this week. I'm excited for this week of prep. The coaches are excited about it. We just watched the tape with some good fresh ideas. So, you know, this will be a couple of good work days here, and we'll get the players in tomorrow. We'll set that plan in motion.
So that means Tiki watched the tape and said, I'm good.
Hold on. He doesn't believe that.
Really?
He doesn't believe it. So you remember last week I was talking about Rondé and John Gruden. And do you remember what I said? Gentlemen, today we need genuine enthusiasm.
Yes.
And if you ain't got it, effing fake it.
That's right.
He was faking that genuine enthusiasm.
Really?
100%.
You get fakeness out of that?
Did you hear him? Today we're going to, and this week we're going to attack it. Like, play that again. Play him attacking the week. Tell me if you don't hear a quiver. This is not commitment. This isn't, we are attacking this week like this is the most important game that any of us have ever played. Listen to Mike Kafka talk about attacking the week.
And yesterday we asked you about your staff. You said you were evaluating everything. So this week, do you anticipate any changes to anybody's role or position or status quo?
I would say status quo. I don't anticipate any. As a matter of fact, we're going to go and attack this week. I'm excited. I'm excited for this week of prep.
Okay, you can stop.
Coaches are excited.
You're right.
If you're going to say attack is a violent word, right? It's not something you do subtly. Evan, I'm going to attack you on WFA. Yeah.
Right.
It's you have to present it violently. We are going to attack this week like no other week before. Not, well, we're going to attack this week and, you know, have fun. It sounds weak. It sounds not presidential. It doesn't sound like someone who means it.
You know what that means? We got to subtract 5% more from Mike Kafka.
Now he's at zero.
He's at zero. He's
strategery.
This is nonsense, but it is real. How you deliver the message matters. It really does. And you could hear the uncertainty in how he was saying that. Because he knows he wants to make a change. He just thinks or whatever, believes that he can't or
shouldn't. Well, that's the real question that comes out of this. And by the way, you're listening to WFAN NFL Football powered by Verizon. Why isn't he making the change?
Don't know.
If you can hear in his voice, he probably wants to make the change.
I don't know.
Is that coming from upstairs or?
Especially because Bowen was Dave's guy.
Right. You would think he's got the carte blanche to do what he wants because yes. This is his audition. You wouldn't give someone an audition and like tie arms behind their back.
Right.
You know, you wouldn't give someone an on-air audition at WFAN and say, yes, but you can't talk baseball or football. Now, good luck. Have a good time. Like, okay, he could do a fine show, but it's like, wait a second. You're taking away the weapons. So is that a lack of belief in who would replace him?
I don't know who on the staff would replace him.
And maybe that's the issue.
I'm sure it is, but I mean, Marquin Manuel, he had defensive coordinating experience,
yes,
correct?
He was a co-D coordinator.
So he was technically he could do it, but maybe he doesn't have the faith or whatever in him to do it.
We'll get to your calls next, 888-808-1019. And Abdul Carter has been a name we haven't talked a lot about, mainly because he hasn't made an impact. He finally made an impact. But unfortunately, it may have been in the trainer's room. We'll get to the Abdul Carter situation in the next 15 minutes. But one clear, noticeable difference from the Giants' offense yesterday was a commitment to the run. And I remember we were talking late last week about, well, why would the offense be much different since Mike Kafka was the play caller anyway? And the thing we pointed out is the head coach has an influence on the play calls, an influence on the style
right.
that guy wants. Well, at least in 1 week, one game against Green Bay, we saw a major commitment to the run. Not just in the obvious breakdown that they ran 38 times versus 29 pass attempts by Jameis Winston, but also there was a stretch between the opening drive, the successful opening drive, and I think it went all the way until the middle of the third quarter where they ran on first down 14 consecutive times.
Yeah.
14!
Yeah. And almost, it felt like useless at some points because they weren't picking up a lot of yards. But it's an interesting way you trusted them to then set up whatever was coming next, the play action pass, and that Jameis Winston would stand in the pocket and deliver the ball on time.
And he did.
And it's exactly what he did. He doesn't get flustered. He's not moving out of the pocket except for the fourth down. That was the only one where he kind of took his eyes off of where the ball was supposed to go. And I have to go back and look at it again. I honestly think it was Jalen Hyatt not running the right route. And so
what else is new?
Exactly. That is what it is. It's what you're going to get from a guy who can't barely see the field for much of this season. But now he's there because they're desperate to have somebody catch the ball in the field.
Hey, they were so desperate. Their number one wide receiver yesterday was a guy they picked up off the practice squad in Isaiah Hodgins. Old friend that came back and actually contributed, but he had not played in a game at all this season, sitting on the practice squad of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's get to your calls, 888-808-1019. The number, Tom is in Howell, New Jersey. Good afternoon, Tom.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
All's good.
I just had 2 points. The first being, and you know, I'm going to preface this by saying I'm no fan of Shane Bowen, but in previous weeks that the Giants have blown leads late in the games, you know, the Giants would kind of sit in that prevent defense and let a tight end just run down the middle of the field for 25 yards, you know, uncontested, right. Easy 25-yard pickup. I felt like yesterday, even like you were saying, Tiki, you know, the scheme is not and everything, but at least on that 3rd and 10, they brought pressure. Love was a little uncomfortable in the pocket. He threw up a ball. You know, that's just a 50-50 ball that your players got to make. Banks in the back of the end zone, you got to try to break that pass up.
Yep.
Obviously, the scheme needs help and stuff, but I felt like yesterday players were in position to make plays. They just didn't make them. And the second point is that you think Jameis Winston's performance is another indictment on Brian Daboll, being that, you know, even Russell Wilson, first of all, coming out and getting the starting job, but even after Dart took it, keeping Wilson as the backup and not having Winston in the Bears game, let's say, you know, maybe could have let it come back there. Do you think that's another indictment on Brian Daboll?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how to take the second, third string situation with the Giants. I almost feel like this was part, like the non-contractual part of him signing with the Giants, that Jameis Winston was here to be the third string, two-year plan at backup quarterback, but Russell Wilson was promised, you're going to play, and then if and when Jackson Dart gets playing time, you're going to be the backup. That's what it feels like, that, because it didn't make sense.
So then what changed? Because if he was promised that, how come they broke the promise?
You had license when you fired the coach.
Ah, I got you.
To do whatever you want, to make it more equitable, to make merit mean something. And look, in preseason, Jameis wasn't better than Russell Wilson. He threw a lot of interceptions in training camp. But that's Jameis. You know who he is. But you could tell that Russell was nowhere near what he needed to be.
Not even close. Brian's in Northport. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
No problem.
So, you know, different QB, different HC, same S. You know, it's here we are again. I got a few points. And number one, Kafka's not the guy. All right, we'll finish the year with him. But this press conference, the first thing he said was the same thing that Daboll drove me nuts. Got to go back and look at the tape. The first thing he said, I can't stand it. So I'm happy the team showed up. You know, they competed. But if you look at that game, if Dobbs makes the catches he's supposed to make, and if Green Bay makes four picks instead of the one they made at the worst time,
right,
it's a completely different game.
100%. Because there were three turnover-worthy balls that didn't get intercepted.
Easy. Easy. And I got one last thing. Is there any path to Mike Tomlin if the Steelers crap the bed the rest of the year?
Yes! Tiki doesn't believe me, but I've been saying this since June. Absolutely. I think the biggest threat to Mike Tomlin not coaching the New York Giants is the fact that when they break up, the Steelers and Tomlin, because it's inevitable. It really is. Unless they go on some kind of deep run, eventually the Rooney family is going to say, all right, Mike, we're going to do it the right way.
Hold on, let me check.
Time for a break.
Let me check real quick. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was a 34-12 ass kicking last night.
Well, Aaron Rodgers is now hurt. They still have to play the Ravens two more times, and the Chiefs are coming despite their loss to the Chargers yesterday. Like, I will continue to think the Steelers are going to miss the playoffs.
No, the Chiefs lost to the Broncos.
To the Chargers. To the Broncos. My apologies. Right. I'm all over the place.
Right.
Point is, Chiefs are coming.
Chargers got their
ass. I know. Didn't we go head-to-head on that game?
Yes, we did.
Damn right,
that
baby.
That was ugly.
I was locked in on that one. So I think there's an avenue to Tomlin being available. What I think is complicated, and this is where I do agree with Teak, is that Tomlin, after all those years of coaching, could say, I need a year off.
Yeah.
I mean, Sean Payton needed a year or two off before he eventually jumped to Denver.
Look at the unbelievable job that Sean Payton has
done. Oh, God.
Like they're 8-2. No, 8-2 or 9-2?
9-2 now.
9-2 now. They're 9-2. And those two losses, last second field goals. They lost two games on clock hitting zero field goals.
Now, in fairness, some of those wins shouldn't have been wins either.
True,
as the Giants.
True, but my point is, Sean Payton's a hell of a coach.
No, he's done a great job.
Even if it's not beautiful, it's winning.
But that's the roadblock to me with Tomlin making that jump is him wanting a year or two off.
Yeah. To me, that feels like what he would do.
And it feels like it's also human nature when you've coached in the same place for such a long time.
And he's 53. It's not like he's 63.
Right.
And if he took 2 years off, he's going to be 65 and, hey, you know what, I'm ready to retire. He takes 2 years off, he's 55 years old.
And he also knows he's the belle of the ball.
Yes.
He can get any job he wants. Mike Tomlin will top everybody's wish list when there's a coaching vacancy and he's sitting out there available.
Yes.
Let's go to Bob in Keyport. What's up, Bob?
How you doing? 2 points for you, Tiki.
What's up, dude?
Number one,
silver lining of yesterday's game. Do you know how many people hit that prop bet that went to a throwing a turnover?
A lot. A lot. Of course.
And second of all, Tiki, could you just give a shout-out to a huge Giants fan, Shmuley Kelter?
Shmuley Kelter? What's up?
Yeah.
Well, go Giants, man.
I feel like it's unfair because there's going to be a lot of Giant fans now who also want a shout-out.
Yeah.
Why is it just Shmuley Kelter getting a shout-out?
What up? I like that name.
By the way, Jameis Winston ended up getting two turnovers.
Oh, that's
the
right.
Last play of the game.
Yes.
And they did.
But I don't think it was turnovers. I think it was interception.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay, because that's a strip sack. But nevertheless, they ended up ruling it a strip sack to end the game, which I kind of feel bad about. I do. And here's the thing. Our last caller said this. Besides the dropped interceptions, which 100% could have had Jameis Winston with a much uglier box score, how about the dropped catches?
Yeah.
The dropped first downs. Like, the Packers did everything they could to hand this game to the New York Giants.
They did. And the Giants were in it.
Yeah.
At the very end. They took advantage of the Packers' mistakes, but ultimately the result was the same. A tight one-score loss.
And I remember at the beginning of the season, I was talking about that. Like, well, it matters how the losses look. And I'll tell you, it doesn't matter how the losses look.
No, it really doesn't.
Honestly, because I know they're blowing games and they've had all these fourth quarter leads, but a loss in the NFL is a loss in the NFL.
Yeah, you know how it looks? I'm tired of looking at them. That's it. And every Giant fan feels enough. I don't care how the losses look. They lose every game in the fourth quarter. It doesn't matter anymore how they look. I don't care if the offensive line played great. The team sucked and they blew another game.
At the end of the Giant game, I thought of Joe Beningo.
Why?
The great Joe Beningo. And you may say, why? Like, that doesn't make sense. Because you could change the head coach. You could change the quarterback. You can change the receiver who you brought it off the scrap heap. And it's the same damn story. Is classic Jet Rant definitely as fit the New York Giants over the last couple of weeks and really the last couple of years. Stewart's in Brooklyn. Hey, Stewart.
Hey, Evan and Tiki. What's going on?
What's up, man?
Tiki, you know, we've been in every game this year, although our record doesn't reflect that. You know, even though we're 2-9, I feel better at this point this year than the previous seasons.
Oh,
but,
definitely.
2 points.
I agree with that, Stewart. You're absolutely right. Yeah. They're not getting, they look like a serviceable product some of the time.
Yes. And
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Points I wanted to make. One is, I'm starting to believe in Theo Johnson. I think he's finally figured it out. He's got that physical traits to be a tight end, and he's worked on his drops, and he's going to be good. My second point is, I thought Hodgins should have ran that route. I mean, even though he's back after a few days, he's probably in the right position to make that catch.
Right. So you're saying, and I think you're right about that, Stuart. Evan, I don't know if he said this on the air or not, but to put Jalen Hyatt in that last interception route, that corner route, it was a hitch corner to the left side. Jalen Hyatt sees the cover two safety just sitting there, and he just stops like the ball's not coming to him. Now, interestingly, if that was just a seam route and it wasn't a corner route, it was an easy touchdown. So a seam instead of a corner there, because the safeties were so wide. It's the easiest throw Jameis would have ever made in his career, maybe. But because it was a corner route and Jameis was throwing that ball regardless, the wide receiver has to be aggressive. And when you think, like Malik Nabers, he's an aggressive wide receiver. He's going to go to his spot and he's going to make a play on the ball. Justin Jefferson, he's an aggressive wide receiver. He's going to get to his spot and he's going to make a play, if contested or not, on the football. Jalen Hyatt plays passive. And in the NFL, in tight games and in tight throwing windows, you cannot be passive.
So why are you drawing up a play that involves him for the most important play of the game?
Well, to steal a line from Javon Holland, you're going to have to ask the coaches. I would love for that question to be asked. Why to a kid who you haven't played most of the season? I think he did play earlier in the year, had one catch. I forget who that was against. It was a hitch. He sits down in the curl. It's the easiest route and catch you ever make in your life. But why would you design a play to have Jalen Hyatt run this must-throw route?
I'm going to become my Kafka for a second. Well, we really believe in him. He's a great talent. He works hard at practice.
Well, then I question your evaluation tech.
That would be the greatest counter.
That's what I would say.
Stuart brings up the point of Theo Johnson, how well he's played the last few weeks. I was thinking about this because Theo has played well. Mm-hmm. Now, Sean Morash is not the president of the Theo Johnson fan club. This is Sean 3 weeks ago while we were sitting at MetLife Stadium, and I secretly recorded him.
I'd sit this loser for the rest of the game. I don't give a flying that there are that many people around you.
Okay. He's got to make that play.
Catch the ball. He sucks so big.
Jeez.
Wouldn't stop me from upgrading Kynette.
What do you think of Theo now? He has played well the last couple of weeks. Stu brings up the point. Your thoughts?
You can always come back to my good graces. Stack good performances and learn from your mistakes. He's clearly done that over the last 2 weeks in not ideal conditions either, mind you. So I'm not fully bringing him back into my arms, but we've had a couple in a row here. Let's finish the year like this.
I don't know if I'm going to give you credit or myself credit or Tommy credit for the editing, but I've heard that clip got back to Theo.
Oh, nice.
He has been very inspired since the Morash meltdown.
Good job, Sean.
Great.
So,
in that case, Shane Bowen, you suck. Everybody on defense, you suck. Let's see if that gets back.
Doesn't work the same way right now. It has to be live in a game with you just being unhinged.
All right, well, we won't see that till 2026.
Unfortunately. Joe is in Brick. What's up, Joe? Hello, Joe.
So, listen, the team stinks. everyone that you're talking about, Wandell, they stink. Joe Shane took over that terrible salary cap, and he miraculously got us out of it, and in doing so, was able to select a horrible roster over the last 4 years. So one guy gets hurt, and we can't keep up. We play these games where, oh man, we're close. We're almost going to win the game, but we don't have enough talent to ever win the game.
Yeah.
So it's like, what, Tiki, you are saying all the right things all along this whole firing of Dable and yesterday about Carter. Like, what are we watching? I mean, the team is terrible, right? Andrew Thomas.
Joe, last
year. Andrew Thomas, right? Hold on. I'm so sorry to interrupt you, but if Andrew Thomas plays, our offensive line is middle of the pack, right? Like, which is pretty good.
Very good.
If he's out, we are bottom 3 to 5 in the NFL, and that shows how we lack. We have the worst depth. It's like we took every 3rd to 6th round draft pick over the last 4 years and just threw a dart at the board and hoped that, oh man, maybe one of these guys could play. How do we not find like a random receiver? And we're throwing out Hyatt yesterday again, and yet we had Hodges a couple of years ago who was quite serviceable for us,
right?
And we just got rid of him. And I sit there and I get excited because of Dart, because the kid could play. But it's so frustrating, man.
No,
it's like another overhaul.
I don't think overhaul is not the right word for it, because when I think about, and I called some of these games over the last previous two seasons, the Giants were unwatchable at points. It was I loved that I didn't have to travel and go somewhere else to call a Giant game. But I hated calling these games because they were inept. They're not inept. They're a good team that can win games. They don't know how to win. And part of it is the players aren't good enough in the depth part. So he's right about that. But I think more importantly, it's been coaching, like the managing of the games and being smart and being aggressive when you need to. It just hasn't been there. And so this year is different than previous seasons, but the results are the same. You've only won 2 games through 11 weeks.
It's tough because I'm very mixed. Like, what you're saying is true. I mean, if they execute just slightly better, instead of sitting here at 2-8, they're 5-5.
Right.
But the season could look completely different.
The other thing he said,
or 2-9, I should say.
The other thing he said was about, like, what are you doing with your later round draft picks and drafting projects and kids that are going to take some time to develop? Part of the issue is that these kids end up having to play right away because they've had so many injuries that you get a 6th round Corey Black who now has to play right away.
Right.
And he's just not ready to do it. Now, like, I look at a guy, and I'll only bring this kid up because he played with AJ, my son, at Princeton. Andre Yosivas. You guys know that name?
Yeah, wide receiver of the Bengals.
Wide receiver of the Bengals.
Yes.
He was a 6th round pick.
Right.
From Princeton. He's literally 45 minutes away from Giant Stadium.
Very smart.
And you need wide receivers. This kid was a decathlete, like a star decathlete, like an uber athlete. The one thing I notice when I watch Giants wide receivers and DBs is that they're not good enough athletes, right? Cordell Flatt, I know he was on the LSU championship squad. Kudos to you, man. College is a completely different sport. He's not big enough to be a corner in this league. He's not physical enough to make contested 50-50 balls like we just said. Deontay Banks doesn't give a you-know-what, and you can see it. A guy running back Wilson running into the end zone. He's at the 5-yard line. You just pat him on his shoulder pads? What the F is that? I mean, seriously. Like, so there is a want-to and a physicality that you have to play football. The Giants are not drafting those players. And it pisses me off. Because how do you walk into a room and sit with a guy who can barely speak football and has zero desire to play football and say, I want that guy. Yeah, I need that guy. I want that guy. If I was in a room with Andre Yosivas and I see he's jacked, he's a decathlete, he makes contested catches in the Ivy League. Yeah, I know it's inferior competition, but look at the dude in the NFL. Like, how hard is that? So I'm as frustrated with the 3rd round down scouting as I am with the play calling on Sundays.
Right.
Because when I see these kids have to play, and then they're not football players to me. I mean, maybe it's the era. Maybe I'm just the old man because I'm 50 years old. They played in a different time when it mattered and where you actually had to fight for your job and it wasn't just handed to you because of where you were drafted. Like, those things are critical to success for any team, and the Giants don't have enough of those guys.
Well, speaking of guys and where they were drafted, we'll come back and get into the Abdul Carter situation. He sat for the opening drive. We weren't sure why. Now we have more information. We'll discuss it coming up. Plus, we have a little experiment. Are you guys going to turn on Cam Scataboo? Because there's something I'm going to tell you about Cam.
Stop it.
That may well piss a few of you guys off.
Stop it, Evan.
He's got plans tonight. Cam Scataboo isn't live streaming tonight. He's doing something tonight, and I don't know if you guys are going to like it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.